I'm going to try to put two messages into one. I'm going to try.
Yeah.
And not go as long as what Pastor Dom would, okay?
Yeah.
That's the goal today, is to put two messages in one, because I really, 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 really want to get to messages 5 and 6. I don't know if y'all know, but we are a Pentecostal church, so that's why I want to get to 5 and 6. 5 and 6 is going to be a lot of fun. Not that this won't be, but you know how the process sometimes ain't all that fun? You know, and that's what we're talking about the last few weeks. We've been talking about the process, the building blocks. Have you ever been at the beginning whenever they're building a brand new home and they're digging a hole in the ground? It doesn't look all that fun, right? And you're like, this is where my house is going to be. And they're like, great, it just looks like a hole. And then you just see the basement, and then you're, oh my goodness, look at the basement. And everybody else is walking around going, it's just a basement. But then whenever they started putting the trim up, then everybody's like, oh, this is going to be wonderful and beautiful. You know, sometimes people don't see the finished product, you know, but you know the process. And that's what we're talking about for these last few weeks. We've been talking about the process with the Holy Spirit. And the question I want to ask today to you is, does the Holy Spirit still speak? If you go and you go to some denominations and you go to some Christian doctrines, they believe that the Holy Spirit no longer still speaks. That when the apostles died, it stopped. Okay? We're going to kind of discredit that over these next few weeks of why we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit still speaks. And not only does he still speak to you, but he still moves through you. You get to be a channel and an avenue for the Holy Spirit to move. And does not care what your background is. Thank God he doesn't care what my last name is. Like I've said before, Wilbur does not do anything for this world. You know? But you know what? I'm a child of God, and that's all it takes for the Holy Spirit to move through me. And that's what I'm going to tell you guys here this morning. It does not matter what your background is. It does not matter what your past looks like or what your present looks like. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit can still move and speak to you. I believe that. First, we need to understand something, though. That the Holy Spirit is a person. We talked about that a few weeks ago. He's not your crazy Uncle Joe, right? That shows up at the holiday dinner that embarrasses everybody. Sometimes that's the way we view the Holy Spirit. He's the crazy one of the Trinity, and he's not. But he is a person, and we need to remember this so that we don't overcomplicate our relationship with him. And our relationship with the Holy Spirit does not need to be any different than what it is with anybody else. We have been given a book that goes into great detail on how we can have a close relationship with him. The Holy Spirit was the inspiration behind every word of the Bible, the starting point to having a close walk with him is through his word. In there, we learn how he walks, how he talks, how he thinks, how he acts. As we read and study the scripture, you will discover his personality and his character. And pouring out your heart to God is the way you can talk to God in prayer. Now, if you all got taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is so important here. Pouring out your heart to God is the way you can talk to God in prayer. But now listen to this part. But the renewing of your mind by the reading of his word. But the renewing of your mind by the reading of his word is the most basic way you can allow God to talk to you. That's how God can talk to you. The reason why some of us have never heard God speak is because we've never gotten in his word. I'm going to be real blunt with you. If you've never had God speak to you in your life, It's because you have not spent any time in His Word. How else are you going to know Him? Think of it like this. If there was a famous person out there that you wanted to get to know, there's one way that's a great way to do it. Get their autobiography. In there, you will find out their background and why it is they do what it is that they do. You're not only going to know the fruit, but you're also going to know the root. And see, we have a tendency just to look at the fruit of everything. But in order to understand the fruit, you have to know the root. And the only way you're going to know the root of the Holy Spirit is if you get in the Word. Secondly, He speaks with a very clear voice. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to be in verse 8. He speaks with a clear voice. He does not stutter like I do. He does not mumble. He does not speak so quickly that you cannot understand Him. He speaks with a clear voice. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then if you go with me to John chapter 10, in verse 1, it says this, most assuredly I say to you, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. I want to stop there for a moment. You cannot cheat your way with the relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is not a cheap thrill where you get your goosebumps on and you move on. You just can't come in, get your thrill, and move on. That's not how you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If the only time you feel like you have ever had a moment with the Holy Spirit is on a Sunday morning, I got news for you. You do not have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Moving on. Verse 2. But he who enters the way by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know his voice. The reason why I think so many times we run out of services when the Holy Spirit begins to do something, it's because we're not a sheep. Sheep know the shepherd. When he speaks, you know it. Whenever I say something to my kids, they don't have to hear, they don't have to see me. Anthony is on the mound yesterday. He did not have to look at me whenever I was coaching him. He heard my big mouth. He knew exactly who it was that was speaking to him. I was very clear. Get your butt in gear, boy. Get on top of the ball. You don't have to look at me. Usually he doesn't. The only time he looks at me is whenever he gives me an evil glance back. Like, I'll deal with you, old man, when I'm done with this, you know? Little story. The other day, he gets in the box, he's batting. And I don't know if some of you may not know this, but Anthony at one time was legally blind in his left eye, okay? And so when he gets in the box, his eye is really, it's quite well now. But he's still, to pick up a baseball, it's hard for him to do with his left eye. So he bats right-handed most of the time. Because of that bad eye, we've actually been working with him to bat right and left-handed. But typically he bats right-handed. But what he does so he can see, say that's the pitcher right there, is he stands in the box like this, and he stands like this, and then once the ball comes, then he'll step. So he gets in the box, he's standing there like this, and the kid doesn't move. Strike one. No problem. I ain't going to say nothing. The kid wants to see the first pitch, right? Strike two. Hey, the bat doesn't swing on itself. But he didn't have to turn around to know that it was the old man over there talking to him. When you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you don't question his voice. You know it. Whenever Kayla calls me on the phone, I have no doubts on my mind who it is on the other end of the line. I know her voice because I've had a relationship with her. See, when we're first introduced to the Holy Spirit, when we first come up and we get saved, no, I don't want to go there, do I? Yes? No? No, I'm not going there yet. When you first, yes, I am. I'm trying not to move on to message 5. I'm trying not, but I got to say this. When you first come up and you get saved and you give your life to Jesus, I know it's great, ain't it? There's 3 different types of baptism. There's baptism with salvation. There's baptism in water. Baptism by fire. Okay? Blood, water. Fire. Okay? When you come up and you give your life to Jesus, you know who it is that is baptizing you. If this doesn't make you shout, then we'll have an altar call real quick. The one that is baptizing you into the blood of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. That does not mean that you have the evidence. That's different. Okay? We're clear about this, right? But the baptizer, I'm not trying to run away. Don't run away. Stay calm, Brandon. Is the Holy Spirit. And baptizes you into salvation through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Okay. Now, you are introduced to this one that can now speak to you. Now, like any relationship, it takes a while to know the voice. You're not going to understand his voice right away. Why? Because he speaks through our mind. And sometimes we have a habit as human beings of not separating everything in our life so we can speak. We think because we have a prayer life that we are giving God the opportunity to speak to us. But God is not going to speak to you if you're the one talking all the time. If I go up and I talk to Michelle and I ask her how she is doing, but the only thing I do is I tell her about my life and I turn around and walk away, was she able to say anything to me? It's no different with God. If you go to God and you are the only one speaking, He cannot speak to you. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is the perfect gentleman. He's not going to interrupt you. And too many times we sit there and we go to God with our needs and our cares and our burdens, all of our problems, and we say we give it all to Him, and God is ready to give us the answer to the situation, but we get up and we walk away. And we never give Him an opportunity to speak, and we go back fighting the battle ourselves. Jesus refers to either the shepherd talking or the sheep hearing the shepherd's voice. The sheep don't just hear His word, but rather they know His voice. They know it with their knower. How many of you know things with your knower? You know way down deep. You know His voice. So according to His word, you should be able to recognize His voice. So much so, I believe this to be true. Because I've experienced this in my own life. My wife sometimes doesn't have to say anything to me. I don't even have to look at her. And I know exactly what she's thinking. I know I'm the only husband out there that's like that. I know. She'd be like, I knew exactly what she was going to say before you even said it. Why? Because we have a relationship. We have spent time together. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10, says that I might know Him. If you translate that back, it says that I might become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Intimacy. It requires intimacy in order for you to know the Holy Spirit. In other words, He's going to have to see all the flaws, all the wrinkles, all those defects that we don't like about ourselves. Come on. Intimacy. See into me. That's intimacy. See, we want to be intimate, but yet covered up. True intimacy is exposing everything, no matter what our flaws are. True intimacy is exposing everything, knowing and believing and having the faith with the one that we are intimate with is still going to accept us for the way we are. That I might know Him. Then it says that I might become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Through the power of His resurrection. And we want to stop there. Come on, how many have not heard that verse? That I might know Him through the power of His resurrection. Everybody wants to go, woo! And they want to stop there. I know. I'm preaching good, ain't I? Shout with me. It's good stuff, I'm telling you. Then it says in the second part, through the fellowship, that's the part we want to leave out, through the fellowship of His suffering. You're never going to know the resurrection until you experience the cross. You're never going to know an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit until you walk through some fire with Him.
Amen.
See, we want to bypass all that stuff. We want to show up on Sunday morning, enjoy the praise and the worship, get a couple goosebumps on our arms, and go home and go about our day and go back to Monday. But I got good news. When you become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, you got somebody who's going to get up with you on Monday morning and is going to walk through the storm with you. You do not have to face the doctor on your own. You don't have to face the bill collector on your own, because you got one who says, I will walk with you. That was all free. That wasn't in my notes. His voice isn't just for the select few, but rather it's for all His sheep. His voice isn't just for Moses or Paul or some great evangelist, but it's for each and every one of us. We can all come boldly before the throne of God through the access purchased for us through the blood of Jesus. Getting in God's presence, His dwelling there, it's living there, it's listening there, it's a way to practice hearing God's voice. If you cannot hear His voice at an altar, you cannot hear His voice out on the street. If you're wondering why you cannot hear His voice whenever troubled times come, it's because you never took time to hear His voice when you was on the mountain. Moses had to hear His voice on a mountain before he ever knew it at the sea. See, when you hear His voice on a mountain, you have faith when you come to a valley. But because of Him, every valley, not just some of them, but every valley turns to a mountain. I hate climbing mountains. It's the one thing I hate about hunting. I hate working. I hate working for it. It's like, I got to go up there to shoot the animal. A few years ago, we was out deer hunting. Jake and I, Dom was there. He helped me. That was a trip. And it started snowing that morning. And I shot this deer. I think it was a doe. It was Thanksgiving Day, actually. And we was out there in the morning hunting before turkey time, you know. We was out there hunting. And I shot the doe. And it ran down over the hill. And not too far from where Dom was sitting. So I text Jake, hey, shot deer. He's like, well, it's time to come out of the stand anyway. So he come on down around the mountainside and walked over to me. And I think Don just about got there by then. And so we, you know, gutted the deer out and started dragging it. Well, it had started snowing about an hour before that. It's snowing pretty hard. So here's Don and I dragging this deer through the snow along the side of the mountain. And, you know, both of us are in peak physical shape. Dragging this deer. And by the time I got it there, I actually got myself a hernia. And, me being the bright guy that I am, I waited like two more years to get it fixed, you know. Because who's in a hurry to have that done? I don't know why I went there, but I love to embarrass myself. But at any rate, anytime I go and I find, like, a buddy of mine has got property out in East Canton, and I hunted out there last year, and he goes, well, are you going to hunt out here whenever you're showing me around? I'm like, yeah. Hill ain't too big to climb for me here. I'll drag anything out of this place. That's the way I look at the woods now. I go, is it worth killing something here? Because I got to work to get it out. Went and bought me a four-wheeler just so I never have to do that ever again. I'm tired of dragging them. A lot of good it's done me. I haven't killed anything since I bought it. Well, the one time I did kill a deer, it was on public property, and I wasn't allowed to have it out there. It's the last time I do that. Many times, though, we are waiting for an audible voice from God. But in all reality, he's going to speak to your mind. When the Holy Spirit wants to get a message to you, he must communicate to your born-again human spirit, and from there, to your mind. It's easy in the beginning of our Christian walk to be confused, and whether it's your thought or the Spirit speaking to you, but like any relationship, the more time you spend with someone, the easier it is to know and understand their voice. It's an amazing privilege to have the Holy Spirit with and in us. He can be a trusted friend who wants to make everything better. You think that this amazing member of the Trinity wants to have a relationship with you. God did not create you to watch you live a life and die. He created you to have a relationship with you. I said this a while back, I'm going to say it again. When God created you, there was a hole in his heart that only you could fill. He had you in mind to fill that hole in his heart that he needed filled. And only you can fill it. Evan, whenever you was born, you filled a hole in God's heart that only Evan can fill. I can't fill it. That spot in his heart is only for you. It's not about whether God loves us all equally. But there is only a spot in his heart that only you can fill. And the only way that you can fill that hole in his heart is to have a relationship with him. He created you so he could have a relationship with you. He's got all the angels. He doesn't just need somebody to worship him all the time. Just because they feel like they have to do it. He's already got that. He's got the angels. He wants somebody who's going to worship him, not because they have to, but because they want to. Because they understand exactly who he is and what they were created for. As a person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit possesses all the attributes that God has. When you begin to study the attributes of God, you find a deep and many-faceted subject. Understanding these attributes can help us see that the Holy Spirit is indeed a person. He's not a force. He's not a thing. He is a person. I can't stress that enough. He's got a personality. Okay? First attribute of God, he's omniscient. God is all-knowing. The word here, omniscience. In other words, all knowledge. The defined definition of omniscience is the attribute of God by which God perfectly and eternally knows all things which he can be known past, present, or future. I said this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to say this again. God has never had, I just had a thought. That's never happened to him. You've never had a situation come up in your life where God sat there and went, I got a great idea. I just thought about this. This will work. That's never happened. Before you ever walked into your situation, God had already been to the situation. He's already handled the situation. All he needs you to do is to come in agreement with him so you can walk through it. Try not to preach too much. I got so much to get through. The internet is full of mind-numbing information, good and bad. Yet it fails in comparison to the amount of information God has. Psalms 147:4 says, he counts the number of stars and he gives them all a name. Psalms 33 and 13, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. His knowledge of each of us is so intimate. We know this. He knows the hair on our head. I wish he knew a few more in mine. This is not just true of God, but it is true for the Holy Spirit as well. Number two, attribute of God. He's omnipotent. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Say that with me, all flesh. All flesh. That includes me. That includes me. Is there anything too difficult for me? You know, some people say I like to brag. I really don't. I'm not a bragger. I like to crack jokes more than anything. But I kind of laugh at God's, you know, arrogance there a little bit, you know? He's like, is there anything too big for me? Try me. Try me out, Jet. See what I cannot do. Oh, the doctor said you had cancer? Please. I know a name that is above every other name. You're a diabetic? Got good news for you. There is a name that is above every other name. And when the name of Jesus is spoken, diabetes don't stand a chance. God is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Nothing is too hard for God. The angel Gabriel confirms this in Luke 1:37 when he said, nothing is impossible for God. Man, if that doesn't make you happy, well, I don't know what will. Nothing can derail his plans. Whatever he purposes to do, he does. Job said this, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I don't know if I was God's first choice to come to this church. Don't know. I'm sure there was better options out there. I have no doubts in my mind. But I was the one that answered the call. And what God puts forward to do, he's going to do. See, he doesn't need me, but he wants to use me. He doesn't need you, Jet, but congratulations, he chose you. Yeah, yeah. Don, he does not need you, but he chose you. Yeah, yeah. You got picked. How many of you ever remember whenever you was in gym class? And whenever you got picked or you didn't get picked? And how you felt? But guess what? The God that created everything, who spoke this world into existence, who flung the stars in the air, who created the sun and the seas, said, I pick you. Come on. Man, if that doesn't make you happy. Paul speaks of God, the Holy Spirit, in Ephesians 3:20, when he said, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. That means he does not just fill the cupboard. He's not the God of just enough. That's not the God who just makes sure you're fed for the moment. But whenever you look in the cupboard, he is the God that is plentiful and it's overflowing. Abundance. I want to live in abundance. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, every aspect of my life, because I am walking with the Holy Spirit. He can do more than I can possibly imagine because he is the God of abundance. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I like that part right there. According to the power that works in us. Okay? Now, I recently started going to the gym because it was getting too hard to chase the baseball team around at practices. So I thought I should probably, if I got to coach these kids, I probably should get in somewhat of shape. So whenever I go and say, hey, I'll run out there with you. They don't want to see the coach out there, you know. It's not a good look, okay? My brother, he's 2 years younger than me. And for about the last 8-9 years, that dude gets up at 4:30 in the morning. He's at the gym by 5, works out until 7, 5 days a week, and he has been doing that for about 7-8 years. So, if I would go, if I go to the gym tomorrow, which I hope to do, okay? If I go to the gym tomorrow and I throw on some weight on the bench press and I grunt and groan and finally get it up there and I lay the bar up and Dusty would get there beside of me and he goes like this. Why? It does not happen overnight. It's a process. There is no quick fix in this thing. I went to the doctor about 2 years ago, and she looked at me and she said, Brandon, you need to change some of your habits. I said, like what? She goes, whatever it is you're eating at night. I said, why? She goes, well, your cholesterol is a wee bit high. And if you don't change some things, I'm going to have to put you on medicine. Now, I could be like some folks and be like, well, I'm just giving this to Jesus. And I'm going to eat me a bowl of ice cream. That's the way we like to do things. When the debt collector calls and he says, pay me today or I'm cutting off that card, and you go, I'm giving it to Jesus, and then you go to Sears and you buy a few things. Okay? Exactly. It does not just happen overnight, right? So, I was like, okay. Apparently, I got to cut out the ice cream. I love it. I love ice cream. It's so good, ain't it? It's so good. Oh, I really think, I really honestly believe at the marriage supper of the Lamb, there is going to be every flavor and style of ice cream.
Amen, Brandon.
Thank you. I finally got some agreement in this place. Hey, I got to do what I got to do. I'll get people preaching with me eventually. I believe that wholeheartedly. Oh. So, about 6 months later, I had to go back and get more blood work. And she goes, well, it's better. Well, that's good. But it ain't what you should be at yet. I ain't going to put you on anything if you're working at it. I'm like, nope, I've cut out the junk. One of my favorite things to drink is the classic of Coca-Cola. I love the burn. Oh, it hits it right here. And you just, oh, it feels so good going down. If you're a Pepsi drinker, you're a communist. It's the classic of Coca-Cola. But at any rate, I cut it all out. Cut out the ice cream. Cut out my popcorn that was loaded in salt and butter. I cut it all out. Years gone by, and I went back and got more blood work. And he said, finally, you are where you should be. This thing with the Holy Spirit does not happen overnight. It does not happen with a Sunday morning experience. It takes Monday. It takes Tuesday. It takes Wednesday. It takes Thursday. It takes Friday. It takes Saturday. It takes Sunday. And you do it all over again. Amen. Your life is not going to change with one little moment on a Sunday morning. It's about developing a relationship. Got to move on. I'm dragging along here. Number three, he's omnipresent. Psalms 139 says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all." Some of us, that's enough to make us go run and hide. He already knows it before I said it. "You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high, I cannot contain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will lay hold of me." It's comforting to know that no matter where I go, the God who loves me is already present. There is no place in heaven or on this earth his love cannot reach.
Amen.
My dad used to sing that song, and I love it so much. When his hand reached down for me, he had to reach way down for some of us. He had to get dirty. But I could not outrun his love. Some of you got some family members that think they can outrun it. Let me tell you something. They cannot outrun the love of God. They cannot do it. God's omnipresence means that he transcends not just space, but time. He is not just everywhere, but he is every when. Think about that. He's just not everywhere, but he is every when. Before your moment ever happens, he was there. Before you take your next breath, he's there. Before you get up in the morning, he's there. Before the doctor ever tells you you got cancer, he's there. Before the bill collector ever calls you, he's there. Before you ever get a phone call and says your baby's sick, he's there.
Amen.
You cannot outrun his love.
Amen.
When you grow in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you learn to listen for his voice. And you will be able, he will be able to warn you when danger awaits around the corner. He also lets you know when there are great opportunities ahead. If you would come on up here, Eric. I'll close with this. There is nothing God does not know. There's nothing that he does not know. He does not have to call. I used to always say Dick Goddard, but now he retired. He does not have to call the local weatherman to know what's coming your way. He already knows. That's his omniscience. There is no place where God does not exist. That's his omnipresence. There is nothing God cannot do. That's his omnipotence. In all three members of the Trinity have all these same attributes. The Son, now sitting at the Father's right hand, knows everything the Father knows. And the same is true for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He has a personality and a soul, and is a person who longs to be your best friend. I don't know what you're facing here this morning. I don't know what bad news you got going on in your life. I've come to tell you, he's already there. I don't know how sick your family member is here this morning. But God's already there. Some of you might be facing a foreclosure. Let me tell you something. God's already there. I don't know what your kids are doing, but they can't outrun him. He is not surprised by anything that happens in your life. When your son or your daughter turned and they walked away from God, he did not go, "Ah, didn't see that one coming. Thought I had him." When your husband or your wife turned and they walked away from God, he didn't sit there and go, "Ah." He wasn't surprised. He was already there. If your spouse cheated on you and you feel like you're being left all alone, God was already there. He said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. And he's everything in between." If you would, stand with me.